the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of glory, your Son Jesus Christ suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Can I have a little more room? Is that okay? Thank you, thank you. How are y'all doing this morning? Another Sunday, another weekend, right? So a little more time before school. But you're almost done with school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So can have
tomorrow.
Well, are you happy whenever you do something good? Does that make you feel good? Sometimes we feel pretty good, right? Do you think God does good things a lot of the time? All the time, maybe. God does good things all the time.
Every good deed doesn't come without.
Well, you know, somebody's usually have a little pride, and I think you should be proud when you do some good things. Do you think God, when God is happy about things, right, do you think he should be proud of himself? Yeah, sometimes he is, right? So, Jesus, God sent us Jesus, which is a good thing, and he should be happy about that, and we're happy about that too. And so we do good things because of Jesus a lot of the time. Jesus comes to us and helps us to do those good things, you know? And so we can be happy when we do good things because we, on behalf of Jesus, because God has sent us Jesus, and God also makes us do good things through Jesus. So when we do good things, we can be happy, and we can give glory to God. Do you know the word glory? Is this a word you know? Can anybody tell me what it means? There's light involved. It means that glory means, is this nice church word we use, to honor, to praise, to give thanks, all these things that are involved in that. And so usually we can glorify God through Jesus, and we glorify Jesus as well. So we can praise them, we can give thanks to them, we can be happy with them, and we can be happy with what God does for us. Let's pray. Jesus, we give you thanks that you have come into our lives and you give us all the good things that we have to do, and we can look to your example through all things. We grant you glory, we praise your name, and we give thanks for everything you do for us and for our world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And there's no Sunday school today, so you're welcome to go see your parents, okay?
The first reading, a reading from Acts. When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as all as his brothers. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 68 responsibly. Let God arise, and let God's enemies be scattered. Let those who hate God flee.
And let the rash not see the Lord's ire,
But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. Let them also be merry and joyful. In your holy habitation, O God, you are father to orphans, defender of widows. God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, when it languished. To God, O kingdoms of the earth, sing praises to the Lord. Power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose strength is in the skies. Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second reading is a reading from 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those that you have given to me in the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for this opportunity to be here to allow Pastor Karen to be on this trip. Just curious, how many of you are going to be going on this trip? Oh. Fair handful. I was pleased because when she first asked me to preach, then she told me, but I'm going to take most of the members with me. I'm pleased to be here this day. Let us pray. Say something. You know, pastors are the official prayers. They're the ones that get called on most of the time. And isn't most prayer for us talking? We praise God. We tell God what we need. We sometimes tell God what we think God should do. But something's different today. The gospel lesson is from the 17th chapter of St. John. And it is a prayer, and it is a prayer of Jesus, and it is a prayer for you. So I'm hoping what we will do by the end of this day and maybe on into the week is listen carefully to that prayer of Jesus. Maybe prayer is, in fact, more listening than it is talking, and we can learn from that. This chapter from St. John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, always occurs on this seventh Sunday of Easter, the Sunday before Pentecost. In fact, history has called this prayer the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus, sometimes also called the Farewell Prayer of Jesus, because it happens right between the Lord's Supper, where he's together with his disciples, and the next time he prays, which is in Gethsemane. And we all know that then following Gethsemane is his arrest and trial and death on the cross. So in some ways, this is also a farewell reading to say goodbye to Easter, because we now move into Pentecost next week. But I would like today to draw from the whole chapter of 17. What happens in the church year is, as you find out if you go to read it, and I want to encourage you to go home and read the entire chapter 17. We only read a part of it as the gospel today. The other parts are left for the two coming years. As many of you know, we divide the church into three-year cycle. So we always read from John 17 on this Sunday, but we always read only a part in each of those years, each year a different part. I would like to draw from that whole part, though. After all, when was the last time that someone prayed for you? And here's Jesus wanting to pray for you. And he's very explicit about saying he's praying not just for those who he has gathered around him. Then verse 20, which we didn't read today, says, I ask not only on behalf of these that I've gathered, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through your word. That's us and the history of the church that's been there. So I'd invite us to listen to this prayer a little today. We often begin prayer, don't we? As we often begin worship, with stating how unworthy we are. We start worship often with the confession of sins. Interestingly enough, that is not at all in Jesus' prayer today. In fact, in the first verses, when you read, he has a promise for you. He has a gift to give you. Eternal life, we are told. And eternal life in Jesus' thought here is not something that's a far distant thing that we have to wait for years or centuries. It is here, and it is now. The words that he uses is, this is eternal life, that you know, you already know the one true God and the one whom he has sent, Jesus Christ. That is what he defines as eternal life for us. It's as though you are embraced in this prayer as a child of God and told you are home. You belong here. Rest in God's arms, in the arms of this loving Christ. What a way to start your day, isn't it? What a way to start your prayer. And that's how Jesus starts his prayer today. There's a lot of language in there about glory and being glorified, how the Father, and he is very careful about calling him Abba, this very intimate term for God, how God has been glorified in Jesus. You may know that in the Old Testament, particularly, but throughout Scripture, the glory of God is almost always the presence of God, seen in different ways. Often it's seen in spectacular and powerful events. Interestingly enough, in the Gospels, and especially in the Gospel of John, we are reminded that the greatest moment of God's glory is the crucifixion. is Jesus on the cross. In some ways, that's the hardest place for us to see God's glory. It's easy to think in some ways that God has abandoned us in the midst of that kind of suffering and cruelty. Or maybe even that God is dead when we don't see his presence then. But the Gospel of John today says, pay attention. If you want to know about the glory of God, this is where you'll find it, on the cross. And then Jesus, in this prayer, says there's another very unlikely place where you will find the glory of God, where it shines. And that is you. And again, we might say, I might like that, but no way, Lord, can I be called one who has shined your glory. Even the disciples, in fact, say that. They are ones who have disappointed Jesus, who have betrayed him, who have denied him. And yet Jesus says to them that they are blessed, that they have shown the glory of God. And Jesus is giving thanks in this prayer for them and for you. Which is why I brought this up. How many of you have an orange tree or a lemon or grapefruit tree in your yard? A few? Okay. So you all know what this is, right? And if you know that, I'm sure, although most of you aren't going to be able to see this, you know what this is, right? It's an orange seed, very small to see, right? I love this song by a singer, Carrie Newcomer, who says, a tree is what a seed contains. That is, the glory of this seed is to become the tree. Everything that's needed is in here. This is a tree. Most of us can't see that. And if you try to explain that to a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, it gets even more difficult. It requires some faith and some patience to know that this seed can become that. The Word of God has been planted in you. God's love is a seed that's already in you. That's why you are here this morning. And Jesus' prayer is like sunshine and water for this seed, so that it will grow in you to that what it was intended to the glory of God's kingdom. It's the assurance of your baptism, the water that's put upon this seed to help it grow. And that's already in you. God is giving thanks. Jesus is giving thanks in this prayer for that seed that is already in all of you and saying to you, let me grow it in you. Then Jesus goes on in this prayer to say that my joy may be complete in you. Do you have that sense of joy in your life? If you wonder sometimes, Jesus is praying for you today that sense of joy will be in you and will grow in you, will be completed in you, in fact, is the word. Other places in John we're told that I have come to bring life and life abundantly. Right? And it says, though Jesus is taking us back to the first chapter of John when he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt in us, full of glory. And the glory was full of grace and truth. What joy we have to carry around. Let's acknowledge in this prayer that life is not always going to be easy, even if it has that sense of joy. In fact, the second lesson today says there's likely to be things like a fiery ordeal that we may be experiencing. The world may hate you for this joy that you carry with you, Jesus acknowledges in this prayer. 4 times in this prayer, Jesus prays that you might be protected and guarded in your joy when you find yourself in those times of fiery ordeal, those times of suffering in your life. It's as though Jesus is saying, be prepared, but don't be discouraged, because I am with you. God's glory, as it's talked about in Scripture, is not the absence of suffering, but it's seeing in Jesus how God's glory transforms suffering and pain in our lives into life and joy, so that in the morning joy shall arise, even though the darkness of night might sometimes feel like it's overcoming us. And then in this prayer, Jesus wants to affirm that you are just where you should be, in the world. Verse 15 says, I am not asking to take them out of the world. I'm asking you to protect them from the evil one in the world. In fact, that word world in Jesus' prayer, chapter 17, go home and check it out, occurs 12 times. And yes, it does carry a sense that the world that's out there sometimes has this sense of the realities that we face in the world, the harshness of the world that's out there, pain and suffering, the injustices, the violence that are there. But then Jesus' prayer in some ways calls us back again to that beginning chapter of the Gospel of John. God so loved this world that he gave his only son. He sent him not to condemn this world, but to heal and restore and redeem. Go into this world not with a sense of judgment, but with a sense of joy. As you have sent me, Jesus says, so I send all of you. Be in the world, but not of it. Go into the world with that spirit of love which God has shaped in that seed in you to proclaim to the world the kingdom that God has in store for all. This is also, as you probably caught from the Acts lesson that was read today, is also Ascension Sunday. We could have celebrated either holiday. It is Ascension. Actually, I find a great deal of humor in the Ascension story. Here Jesus is taken up into the clouds, into the heavens, right? And the disciples are standing there looking at him. How many of you know Salvador Dali's painting of this, which is Jesus with only his feet showing out of the cloud, kind of dangling up there, and all the disciples there looking at them? We all tend to think heaven is someplace else, maybe someplace far away, the dwelling place of God. But then there's these two angels in the lesson today who are standing on the earth with their feet planted on the ground. It's almost like they tap the shoulder of their disciples and say, why are you looking up? You will find him where you knew him before. Why do you think he's left? Have any of you had the chance to travel to the Holy Lands? Not many, one or two. If you go, probably at some point you'll end up on the Mount of Olives, one of the highest points in and around Jerusalem there. On that mount of the Mount of Olives is Augusta Victoria Hospital. It is a Lutheran hospital run by the Lutheran World Federation. That spot is where it claims Jesus ascended. History is never quite sure of that, but it's one of those places where it claims the ascension happened. This hospital, who's there on your behalf, fellow Lutherans, has gotten quite a reputation for the medical techniques that it has pioneered. It serves primarily Palestinians who are ill or are suffering, who have been displaced in the occupation there, often people who are ignored in many other ways. In that hospital, there is a chapel, and on that chapel is a mosaic from the 19th century, and it is the Ascension. What else would you put in your chapel if you're in a place where it's supposed to have happened? And it has Jesus ascending into the clouds, flanked by two angels dressed in white. What's remarkable in that painting is the angels aren't looking at Jesus. They are looking at you. They are staring out at you in the congregation as if to say, why are you looking up? Why are you standing there? Go do something. And wouldn't you know, what we have done is plant a hospital in that place. A place when Jesus says,
you will do what I have done. Place where we do that healing, when we do as Jesus has called us into. In some ways, the Gospel of John, and I think Jesus today, is trying to remind us not necessarily to look up, but to look in this celebration of the Ascension, that I may be in them as you are in me, he says, that they may be one as you and I are one. When Jesus prays for protection for you in those fiery ordeal times, one of the ways he provides that protection is he makes us one. He gives us one another to protect each other. What a marvelous mystery, in a sense, Jesus is presenting to us. Now, the way we explain that when we talk about Jesus is the word incarnation. How did God get to be in a person? That's the symbol of the incarnation, right? Ascension, I think, is about Jesus' incarnation in you. How God gets in you. And of course, next week is Pentecost, and should you be thinking, no, we need to look up. Remember that story? The Holy Spirit descends upon the disciples, right there on earth where they are, like a strong wind and like tongues of fire. It's equipping you, empowering you to be in the world, to be in the world, but not of it. To be the ones who are here in God's name. And I think the disciples got it back then. The scripture tells us the followers, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. That's probably our mission, to return to Jerusalem, to the communities we are in, with great joy, the joy that Jesus gives us. One of my very favorite poets is E.E. Cummings. I know some people kind of find him a little strange. I just love the way he can capture things, and I think he captures this mystery that this prayer is about today. He writes, and I'm abbreviating some of it, "The greatest advantage of being alive instead of on dying, the greatest happens to be that love are in we, that love are in we. And here is the secret, who sleeps in the earth and the sky and the sea, that love are in we, am in I, are in you." I should give you all a test to see if you got that right. Yes, it's wonderfully confusing, isn't it? And yet we know it's true, that somehow love is much greater than us and is within us, even when we are sharing that love with one other person. Isn't that exactly what Jesus does today? Makes us wonderfully confused about how God is with us. "As you, Father, may they also be in us. I in them and you in me, so that they may be one as we are one. So that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. I in you." Go into the world today with great joy and great peace. Amen.
Amen.